Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. Amen. No rain from the track when we unite and spit. This is an A-game. Better bring your A-game. Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. Amen. No rain.
Hey now, it's the Mike and JD Show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined, as always, by JD, by God, Oliva. How you doing, JD?
I had to switch the views, messing me up. I can't be on the left side of the screen. You lead the show. Yeah. I just watched a damn good pay-per-view with a real stupid finish, so I'm in a great mood overall. How about you?
Yeah, I'm in a really good mood, too, because I was like, man, this show's awesome, and boy, oh boy, the main event was a stinker, which I think going into it, we all kind of like... I think, like, last week when we previewed the show, we realized this was a possibility, but we were hopeful because Copeland had been working his ass off, and we thought that the Death Riders angle had kind of turned around a little bit. But I'll be goddamned if it didn't suck, the main event.
Yeah, I think... Okay, so the ask is, like, should Tony and Mariah have main evented? The answer to that question is maybe.
Maybe honestly, hindsight being 2020, right? Like, if you're to rebook this show, I think that would have been the perfect way to end the show with that match.
I agree. I like what they try to do at the end. And I don't, of course, JD's neighborhood, the train coming through. never fails. No matter what time we're doing the show, the train's coming through. I understand why they did it with the main event. I get where they were going. I do think in 9 times out of 10, it is the move. Copeland, I don't think Copeland and Moxley was necessarily bad. I just think that it just paled in comparison to everything else we had seen.
Yeah.
Like, especially after, dude, Kyle Fletcher might be dead. Like, he might actually be dead. He could be in the hospital right now and be unalived. And I would have no idea. I would not surprise me. How do you follow up Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher in the cage, which was before Kenny Omega and Kenosuke Takeshita, which was before Tony Storm and Mariah May. I mean, like, this show was just like banger after banger.
It's one of the pay-per-views of all time. And this company has had a history of stacked pay-per-views, and I think they outdid themselves with just how insane the matches were on this show. I predicted it last week that they were going to break the record for most star ratings, like collectively on one show, like the most star ratings. I think we got at least probably two, maybe three matches that are going to go five and over five. It wouldn't shock me whatsoever, but I think a lot of times when you're leaving these shows, you typically the main event is the last thing you remember, so that's kind of how you always judge it. I hope that's not the case, because I did think that this was an incredible pay-per-view, so I don't want us to dwell too much on the main event, but I do have some comments. But first, look, you get to stop me dead in my tracks when you give me $5, even if it's a Canadian five, it still counts to me in my book. So,
hey, I'm going to say right now that I love Canada. I think Canada's a great place. I appreciate the King of the North and his five Canadian dollars, which I don't want my electricity messed with by Doug Ford. So I'm not going to say anything bad.
Yeah, I said main event. This is King of the North. Main event tag belts matches stunk. The rest of the show was an all-time great professional wrestling. I hope you guys had a great time with it. Yeah, I think that kind of sums up the night, right? Like, it's one of the all-time great pay-per-views that had a really stinky main event. And honestly, that tag team title match between the Outrunners and the Hurt Syndicate should have probably been about 3 minutes or not even on the show at all. I get they're paying Bobby Lashley and Shelton a lot of money, so they want to get their money's worth.
And it's an overact. It is an overact.
It is an overact. The Outrunners is an overact, but you could tell that there was just there's a big difference in over, like, and how over the two teams were, a huge difference. The Outrunners is a fun little act. They're the fucking Mulkey brothers, okay? Like, I get it. I get the appeal of the Outrunners. I think they're funny and cute too. Yeah, they're the Bushwhackers, the Mulkey brothers. They're like, that is their appeal, and I think that's fine and it's admirable. You need guys like them on the card. However, if you're going to put them in a pay-per-view match, which I don't really necessarily disagree with, I think they should have just gotten their asses kicked in like 3 minutes, because they were pushed harder in this match than the previous tag team champions, Private Party, who has been an act on this company for 5 years. The Outrunners actually outshined Private Party with how much offense they got on the Hurt Syndicate.
Couple controversial thoughts on this. One, the Outrunners are better than Private Party, so that's why.
Oh, okay. Okay, all right, let's load up our guns. Load up your guns.
My stance on Private Party has been
I genuinely do not like Private Party.
Nor do I.
Right, but I have... You know what's so funny? Everybody's like, well, Private Party's great. They've had these great matches. And then every time they list the great matches, it's the Young Bucks on the Young other Bucks. Side.
Yeah, because the Young Bucks are really good. I know it's like a hot topic to say that now, but the Young Bucks are still really good at professional wrestling. Anyways, two, I think this match was fine because everybody had to go take a piss at some point. At some point, you have to go visit the merch table. At some point, you got to get something to eat for the little kid that you take to the shows, in my case. So I needed that. If I'm one of the probably 13,000, including the suites that we had at the crypto.com arena. What a horrible name for an arena, by the way. You need some point to go ahead and take, you know, get a little break in. And if that means Bobby Lashley gets to beat the shit out of somebody and we all get to come down a little bit, that's fine. There was no other point until the main event that everything just kind of hit a screeching halt. That was perfectly serviceable. It was a little long, but, I don't know, like, everything was a little long tonight, to be honest with you. There was nothing. Honestly, the match that I thought was the shortest that could have gone longer was that fucking bloodbath of a women's title match that we got.
Yeah, it did seem like, and I thought that was, if you said that was the match of the night, I wouldn't fight you. Yeah, no. I wouldn't fight you. I thought Tony Storm Mariah May killed it.
Dude, we fucking dogged on this thing for a year. We fucking fucking year.
But we also really liked their match at All In last year. We did. I thought that match was tremendous.
We did. They have really good chemistry in the ring. And you know what? Credit to RJ City. Like, his let's just go this one first. We don't have to go in order. Everyone else is going to go the whole short order. Fuck that. Let's do our own thing. Like, let's talk about this. RJ City knocked it out. We kind of like, and I'm the film guy. I was like, they're going to do a wrestling angle around All About Eve. Like, come on, how's that going to work? Turned out great. Like, it wasn't our cup of tea the entire time. But I texted you. I said, this went from being All About Eve to Nightmare on Elm Street. You told me to save it for the show, so I did. Yeah. Like, I think they fucking nailed it. At the end of the day, it had heat. It was over. Like, mm-hmm. it helped sell a lot of tickets to a major show in Australia. Like, yeah. They fucking delivered the whole time on this thing. Credit to these two. And what a fucking bloodbath it was. Holy shit, did they try to kill each other.
Dude, it was so bloody. At one point, you could see they zoomed in on Toni Storm's face, and you could tell she was uncomfortable with how much she was bleeding. Like, and at a certain point, you get kind of like, when it's gushing that much, I always get a little bit worried for the performer, and I could see the worry on her face. That wasn't acting. Like, she was like uncomfortable with it, but then she just kind of got into her groove and then went on to have a hell of a match. And, you know, arguably the best match of the night. I think that if you went with this match, or if you went with Ospreay and Fletcher, I don't think that people would really argue one way or the other, unless they're just kind of sticking to their guns. Or because, look, Ospreay and Fletcher did more moves, and I loved that match too. And they went longer. They jumped off the cage. They kicked out of some more stuff. But I love the fact that Toni Storm and Mariah May went a little bit short. I think it ended at the right time.
She is like Antonia the Butcher out there. Like, that's how much blood Toni Storm. I don't know what her real first name is, but I thought it was pretty funny. There was the amount of gore in that match. Like, they're breaking bottles with their legs. They did the, was it, it's blood sport. No, it's not. It's kickboxer, right? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, it was a Tonga Po. I can't remember Jean-Claude Van Damme's name in that movie, but it was Tonga Po. The Taipei death match. I think that the Rotten Brothers did that back in the day too.
It's fucking awesome. They brought the tape, like, oh my god, they're gonna do kickboxer. And they sure did. They shattered a bottle with Toni Storm's thick-ass legs. Like,
yeah,
I loved this. Dude, my wife and I were watching Dynamite this week, and she saw the interview segment with Toni and Mariah, and she goes, I'm out, and she walked out of the room. So she's just like, she had zero tolerance for any of that shit. And I'm really glad she did, because this match would have made her nauseous to her stomach. And
I loved it, man. Yeah, I'm glad I was watching this show on my phone, because here's what happened. I was getting ready to put it on the TV, and my wife and my daughter were at the splash pad. You know what a splash pad is, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so they're at the splash pad. Yes. Okay. And my daughter just fell down and went boom and skinned up her knee and her elbow and her wrist and her thigh, and kind of almost like road burns, like, on her body. Mm-hmm. And so we had to patch her up, and then dad did not get the TV ever again after that. Because I had to, like, you know what I mean? I have to, like, you know, I had to give up the TV. Like, my daughter's in pain. So I just had it on my phone, and I was like patching her up. And then at that point, I got to take care of dinner. I had to do all kinds of stuff. So I was kind of a little bit busy during the show. But it is what was a little bit of a tough night in the Gilbert household. But in hindsight, turned out to be a good thing, because my wife and daughter would have been watching that match with me, and my daughter would have started crying if she'd have seen that with how much blood there was.
So right around the same time at the Oliva household, my wife discovered Andy's, like, home folder, and she found a math quiz of his that did not go very well. Uh-oh. So we had to have words with the boy. So I missed most of the tag team match, and most of the tag team match. So I was running, and he had to go upstairs during the Toni Mariah match. Excuse me. And then bolted downstairs to check it out a couple times. He doesn't like the women's wrestling, but he's fascinated with the gore. So he kept running downstairs to take, like, a couple peeks. He's like, oh, gross. And he'd run away. And he'd come back. He'd be like, oh, they're so bloody. Ah, and he'd run away again. So, yeah. So that happens when you're a parent. You have to take care of certain issues that arise.
Yeah, man. Real life happens during these shows. But, man, I don't even have the card in front of me, so we'll just kind of riff. Guys in the chat, I want to hear what your favorite match was. And I want to hear now, 7 days later, because we talked about it last week, 7 days later. I want to know if with hindsight being 2020, do you think that Mariah and Toni should have headlined the show?
And we are not the women's wrestling advocate, guys. Those are not who we are. Like, we're unapologetic meatheads, and
we're not trying to score points with the women's wrestling revolution, like the people who are fighting against women's suffrage and pro wrestling. That's not JD and I. We just want we're meatheaded dudes, so we don't really care one way or the other. But I'm just thinking on his face, like it was the big blow off of the longest feud that they have going in the company, and the match turned out to be insane. So I'm in the camp that it should have headlined.
I agree 100%. And we both kind of scoffed at that a week ago. And I'm mad enough to say I was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. We're both, we can be full of shit sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes. Yeah.
So I got a question, JD. So I want to get back to the main event. I don't want to dwell on the main event because I do think that that kind of like, so with Christian coming in and doing, I hate the Money in the Bank. I want every company besides WWE to stop doing Money in the Bank stuff. Oh, Lady B, I appreciate you, Meatheads. You're right on this one. Thank you. Thank you. So we did score points with the women's wrestling revolution out there. Thank you.
One of the best minds and one of the best female minds in wrestling media, actually. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Lady B. I appreciate you. So with Christian cashing in, I'm done with Money in the Bank stipulations. I don't want any other company besides WWE to do them. I think it's a crutch. I think it's stupid. I'm sick of it. So anyway, we get Christian to come in. Was this just a way for Adam Copeland not to lose, was to have Christian come in and take the L on this deal?
Kinda. That's kind of my vibe too. And this is what I couldn't stop laughing. Like the whole last 5 minutes of the match, I literally could not stop laughing about this. But what I did like was that it bucked a trope in wrestling of the cash-in and the fact that it was a complete and utter failure. So I do like that. I do like thumbing the nose at WWE a bit. I would have preferred they not do it, but I also can't argue with your point that it protects Copeland, right? Was the whole thing stupid? Yeah. But the whole thing was going to be stupid anyway. We built around it. So whatever, it's over. Swerve came out at the end.
Yeah, Swerve came out at the end. Tried to get the stink off. And I'm gonna pull up a tweet from Airgold. And this is a guy that I've made fun of in the past, but He had a pretty funny tweet, so I'm gonna bring it up. There you go, Adam Holtzman. they wanted Adam Holtzman to do the JOB, but he said that doesn't work for me, brother. And as we know, he is a big Hulkamania fan. If you remember,
the
old tag team match that they had back in the day. But I wanted to give credit to one Air Gold for tweeting that out. That was pretty funny. And I challenged him to retweet it. So I thought that was pretty good.
pretty good. Can't he doesn't struck me as a selfish guy. I do think it protects him. I do think it helps build into a Christian edge match or Cope match, which I think we all kind of want. I don't know. Like I do think Cope stepped up in the last month leading into this. But I don't think we ever thought he was going to win the title, right?
No, we never did. So this was their out. And I think here's my theory on it, because I don't think Edge or Adam Copeland, whatever you want to call him, is really like a crazy selfish guy. I think that Tony Khan has a lot of reverence for Copeland.
I agree.
I think he's a huge fan of his. He sees him as an all-time legend, and he feels like he's lucky to have him in his company. And the guy is coming in working his ass off, and he sees him kind of like he saw Sting. And Sting never lost either. I think that's kind of what we're looking at, is like Tony Khan is treating Copeland like he's Sting and he only wants to beat him at the right moment. But the fact of the matter is he ain't beating the rap of not doing jobs, because he's around a lot more than Sting, and Sting was in his 60s. So it is a little bit different. I think that they probably should have just beat old Cope tonight.
I think it's kind of a no. And I thought about this early in this feud. I think it was kind of a no-win situation, because I don't think you want Cope as your champion. I think the Moxley thing has been super cold, because they just couldn't figure out. It was like when they first did it, we were both excited because we thought this could be like an NWO thing, and they didn't really commit to it. So along just being a bunch of Moxley turned into like Aleister Black at some point, just rattling off gibberish, you know, that made absolutely no sense. And so you kind of book yourself into a hole with this, because like, you know, we spent months with Orange Cassidy, didn't go anywhere. It just there's no good way around this. So all of it is correct. Like, I do think Tony protects legends more so than Vince does. So excuse me, I get the whole thing. It doesn't make for a great main event. That being said, I think we're in a much better place at the end of the pay-per-view than we were at the beginning.
Yeah, because now we get to go to Moxley versus Swerve, which is very likely to headline Dynasty, which is coming up in April, right? Yeah, April. I believe Dynasty's in April.
Here's my thought. I would rather they hold it off. I would rather they push it to Double or Nothing.
Okay.
And let it build. Okay. And let's do something else. This is, we've gone full on WCW here, right? I mentioned before, I really want AEW to be a new WCW. Tonight was the night. It was like, yes, phenomenal undercard, horrible main event for the world title. We are full on 1997 WCW at this point. So let's have a month where Moxley and the title aren't the focus of the show. Right. Let's push it to our, because Double or Nothing is supposed to be one of our biggest pay-per-views of the year. And I do think that's the biggest match they can offer right now is Swerve versus Moxley.
Moxley, so because it looks like they're very clearly holding off on Omega Okada for All In, which that's what they teased at World's End. And that looks like it's very likely to be a title match.
Good, because we have too many goddamn belts in this company.
Let's
merge some of them.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely do. All right, so the match that I missed, speaking of Omega, and then I'm going to get to the chat, guys. The chat is blowing up, so guys, hit us with your opinions. Let us know what you thought of the show. What was your favorite match? What was the worst match? And what did you think was the real main event of tonight's AEW Revolution pay-per-view? This is all AEW, the entire show. I got no TNA news, guys. I know some of you guys are here for TNA news. I did Brace for Impact on Friday night. It's out there. It's on Patreon, and I clipped a part of it and put it out yesterday. So it's available for you guys if you want it. But there is one WWE story that I do want to get into. We got to get into it because this is just going to be too funny because it involves a former AEW superstar. So we'll get into that in a little bit. So, yeah, hit me with the chats, and I will get to the chat. So, JD, tell me what happened in the Takeshita Omega match because I know that Omega won, but I missed the whole goddamn thing because I had to go get dinner.
Takeshita beat the shit out of him. He kept dropping him on his stomach repeatedly over and over and over again. And then Kenny hit him with the crucifix, rolled him up, and pinned him. Like he kind of, the story is Kenny just outsmarted him.
Yeah.
Right. And I thought that was really good booking. Right. First of all, Kenny in great shape. Kenny looks like a million bucks right now.
Yeah.
Like, for a dude that diverticulitis, that six pack is quite impressive at the moment. But yeah, Takeshita has shown just how damn good he is. Kenny's selling was just off the charts. He's so goddamn good. And like they did a couple gnarly like stomach bumps, right? Which is a really smart way for Kenny to work his matches at this point because he had that, you know, legitimately lost part of his intestines. So that's pretty much the story. Was that Takeshita's younger, better, faster, stronger, and doesn't have the diverticulitis problem. But Kenny's a veteran. We've entered the veteran stage of Kenny Omega, where now he's winning matches because he's smarter, which, you know, as an old grappler myself, you get the youngins because you're slicker than them. You know, in my case, I don't see the foot sweep coming. Like, that's what you got to do. So you got to be up. You got to be smart. That was pretty much the story of the match. It was really good. Like I said, it was not different than the typical Kenny Omega because he got a lot of those spots, but just worked a little bit differently.
Yeah.
You know, it was almost like Kenny was wrestling like the 10 years ago version of himself.
Gotcha.
You know,
well, that's one match that I'm going to have to go back and watch.
Oh, you're going to like it. You're going to like it. Dave's going to give it all the stars.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. Omega matches start at like 4.5.
And four and
it's
four.
Like,
I mean, to be fair, they do. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's like,
well, it's like he's got a 4.5, like as he's walking out, you know, it's kind of like, you know, some teachers, when you start their class, they start you off with an A.
Whoa.
Wait, is that what you do?
Kind of. I give the kids a project that is like, I give them 200 summative points if they can find 100 images on Google and just save them properly.
Yeah.
Right. Because the class gets tough. And I'm like, oh, here's a bunch of free points so you can build up a reservoir so you don't drown.
Yeah.
Every fucking semester, there's a bunch of them that just don't do it. And then they're like, why am I failing your class with a 12%? Well, you took a zero on a 200 point summative project, man. Come on, dude. So,
I thought the show opened up really well with MJF and Hangman Adam Page.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was a pretty damn good match. And MJF was smart to open this pay-per-view up because he did not want to follow some of that stuff there towards the end. So I thought they did a great job, a great match. And I was a little bit surprised, actually, that Adam Page won, but it was a great match.
Yeah, I liked the match a lot. It was like, it started off good. It was nice and long. It was told a good story. MJF is back to being MJF, but we still have like, I know I was listening to Joe Lanza on his show talking about how Paige is kind of back to his part in the company. I'm like, I don't think so. I don't think that's quite accurate. This isn't the anxious cowboy the anxious, how do they call it? Anxious millennial cowboy, Adam Page. Right. This dude is a lot rougher around the edges. It's a lot darker of a character, but people still love him because he's Adam Page. And I think they just have a really, really great chemistry together in the ring. I want to see these guys continue to work together. I really thought it was a damn good match. It paled in comparison to the drama we had later, but for an opener, this good wrestling, I thought it was great.
Yeah, I thought it was great too. So did they just completely drop Jeff Jarrett and MJF? Is that just totally done?
I mean, kind of. I mean, yeah. I mean, something might happen to Jeff because, like, usually when Tony just goes completely cold on a story, somebody usually got hurt. Jeff just got announced bringing a claim back. So it's possible Jeff just had some business stuff just coming back. Who the hell knows when it comes to Jeff Jarrett, you know?
Right. Yeah. That guy's always like working some type of angle.
He's the
carniest of all the carnies is old. Double J Jeff Jarrett.
So Memphis. I just love it.
Yeah. Next we had Mercedes Moné versus Momo Watanabe. What'd you think of this match?
Okay. I had no idea who Momo Watanabe was. I've heard the name. Like, I listened to our good buddy, Scott, right? Yep. So I know of these people.
Daza too, sir. Daza
of course. Daza. Love Daza. Great dude. But I pay like attention peripherally. So I've heard of Momo Watanabe. And then I see her swinging this baseball bat, cracking people. I'm like, this is my kind of chick. And then I see her just kicking the shit out of Mercedes the whole time, like in the face. I am a Momo Watanabe fan.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Hey, did anybody tell her that did the lady from Queen of the Ring from later in the evening, did she tell Momo that it's supposed to be fake? I don't know. Like, somebody should like smarten this kid up.
What the fuck was that, by the way, when they interviewed the actress? You guys know who's going beforehand. Hey, what the fuck, man? I don't go into your movie and tell you, hey, by the way, this is all the work too. Come on. Like, we get it. You don't got to rub our faces in it. No, man, I was a big fan of that match. Like, Mercedes, I don't love all of her stuff, but when she's on, she's pretty damn good. And I think that tonight they had really good chemistry. I could watch these two wrestle multiple times over.
Yeah. You know, you could tell that Mercedes has got a lot of pull because I don't think in any other world would they ever bring in Momo Watanabe in a big spot like this in her debut match. But you could tell that Mercedes really just wanted to wrestle her and was able to, has the pull, brought her in. And then sure enough, proved herself right by bringing her in. And I thought she was a world beater. I think she's probably somebody that you could bring around. She's super stiff, but so somebody that I think you could bring around because she can kick the shit out of people, and that'd be fun to watch.
Dude, Mercedes told Tony Khan, I want to get kicked in the face repeatedly, and this is the person to do it. And I have nothing but respect. Like I said, I zone out for a lot of Mercedes matches. I just do. I'm not a good person. Yeah. But I adored this match. I thought it was great.
I thought this was great. So here's my thing with Mercedes matches, and I think I said this last time, so I don't want to dwell on it, is none of her stuff actually looks good, and she's a bit cheesy, but for whatever reason, it always ends up being a good match. Like, it always ends up working, right? So I'm just like, I have these criticisms. I don't like any of her promos at all. She's not a good promo, like, whatsoever. So anytime she's talking, I just want to hit the fast forward button.
Never has been.
But when the matches happen, they're usually they're always a bit like sloppy, and like she never does the moves well, or her finisher sucks, right? But it always works. I think she always does a good job.
She's very good at being Mercedes. Like, there's something to be said about knowing what you are and staying in your lane and being very good at it. Like a John Moxley. Like, John Moxley knows what he is and really stays in his lane, and 9 times out of 10 has a good match.
Yeah. So we already talked about the tag title match. We don't need to go into that again. Okada versus Brody Lee. Brody King. Sorry, Brody King.
I was disciplining my child during this moment. Like, this was not. This is when JD had to put out a fire. You got a 2 out of 7 on a math test. That's not good. Like, so we had to have like long talks about dealing with our anxiety and, like, you know, getting angry because he was getting angry that we looked at our paper. So I didn't get to watch this one. Like, you're gonna have to carry me for this.
Yeah. I thought this match was pretty good, but it's on the lower end of what was on this card, which is pretty tough considering this is like a super stacked card. With Okada, I think when he's in there with bigger stars, you get more out of him. Brody King's not really a big star, but he did get the shit beat out of him the entire time. Like, he just he just kind of took a beating the entire time and then ultimately got the victory here. So it wasn't a bad match by any means, but I didn't think it was like a tremendous match either.
I don't think this was supposed to be a tremendous match on the show. I think it was supposed to be a good match on the show, but did Okada have the working boots on? Was he like out to prove a point tonight, or was it just fine?
No, he wasn't out to prove a point, but he still took a beating. That was about the extent of it. It's like, I don't want to call the guy lazy because he got his ass kicked the whole time, but he didn't do a whole lot either. He just let Brody King beat the shit out of him.
So, which in itself is like asking. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay. They clearly have a lot. They clearly think a lot of Brody King, which makes sense because I think a lot of Brody King.
Brody King to the moon, man. I love that guy.
What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. We'll get back to your show in just a minute. Do want to let you know about a brand new sponsor, though, we have on the network, NordVPN. NordVPN aims to make the internet a better place for everybody. You can free your internet from online threats, censorship, and surveillance, as well as access content that is not available in your region. And this was one of the great ways that I use NordVPN. With WWE moving all their content to another streaming service internationally, you can use NordVPN to switch your region and access everything that they have on that new service. Now, on the flip side, say you still want access to where WWE used to have their content, and maybe you live outside the United States. Well, hey, NordVPN again is there to help. It's not just wrestling, though. If there's a sporting event or a TV show that's unavailable where you live, do not worry. You can still watch it with NordVPN. Just switch your virtual location to a country that is showing it. Plus, NordVPN is a great way to protect your private data like bank details and passwords, especially when you're traveling and using public Wi-Fi. One of the things that I love about NordVPN is that you can save money on flights, hotels, and subscriptions by virtually changing your location to a country with lower prices. As someone who travels a lot, you guys know vacations and all the other stuff. This is a tool that I use all the time to score better deals. Shop smarter with NordVPN. Come on, what are you doing? And don't worry about slow streaming either. NordVPN is the fastest VPN out there, so no more buffering or lagging. It even has a threat protection feature that blocks viruses and phishing sites. Best of all, you can use one account on up to 10 devices, and it costs about the same as a cup of coffee each month. Now, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to our link, nordvpn.com/voice, which will give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. Again, it's nordvpn.com/voice to get 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. Best of all, there's no risk. Nord has a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're not happy, use that right there, 30-day money-back guarantee. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/voice to get 4 extra months on the 2-year NordVPN plan. One more time, nordvpn.com/voice to get 4 extra months on the 2-year NordVPN plan. And, of course, we want to thank NordVPN for sponsoring the podcast network. Now, back to your show.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
But they don't think enough of him to kind of put him over these bigger stars, so he hasn't gotten over that hump yet. True. But and they're positioning Okada to take on Kenny Omega at one of their biggest shows in the history of the company, so he's clearly not going to be losing. They probably didn't even need to have the match at all, but they did, and it was designed to make Brody King look like a monster in a losing effort, and that's what they got.
Brody King is kind of in a similar spot to Will Hobbs. Like, I don't know if you saw did you watch the pre-show?
No. Come on,
dude. I watched the pre-show part of it, and like when we were having dinner, and Andy goes, "Dad, they brought in some guy named the Rizzler." I went, "Oh God, I forgot." We were having dinner at the time, and like I forgot about that. And like, I'm so happy that my son had no idea who the Rizzler was. Yeah. I feel like a good dad. But I watched the end of that, and then you know, they brought Cage and Archer. By the way, great tag team. Like, super love them together. Love the look. Big fan of that. They came out, and then Powerhouse Hobbs kind of comes out and makes the save. So I think Brody King is in a similar position to Powerhouse Hobbs, where they clearly see something in the guy, but they aren't really ready to put him to the next level over the stars yet. So you're in this weird holding pattern where you don't want him to lose a lot, but you also don't want him to win a lot. So they're almost in like wrestling purgatory.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it, because they're clearly very, very good. they're probably even a little bit better than some of the people that are above them.
I agree with that, actually.
And they're younger, they're fresher, and I think they have more long-term stability for the company. So it's like, when do they want to pull the trigger? They pulled the trigger on Swerve sooner than people probably would have expected, but I think he was just so fucking good. He could be undeniable. Powerhouse Hobbs has some limitations with promos and stuff like that, but I think he's tremendous. He's right there. And I think Brody Keegan is tremendous too. And I think ultimately they go back to the tag team with him and Buddy Matthews. I think that's where they're probably going to go with it. But I think that he could be a singles kind of upper mid card, some semi-main event type guy in this company for a long time if they decide to put him over some of these stars.
I agree. I think he had to at some point. I do like him, Brody and Buddy versus Hurt Syndicate. I think that could be fun. And I think too, if you ever decide to work Cedric in there, which I think they should, like, I'm not an advocate of picking up all these WWE guys, but it makes sense because you've already got the three of them. Why not put Cedric Alexander there and he could be a guy eat pins, you know, for this team. And then you could have a natural three-way. I mean, I imagine you find somebody to stick in with the hellhounds that we're calling these hellhounds, guys now.
Yeah.
Hellhounds. Yeah.
I'm sure there's a spooky guy out there somewhere they can get.
Crazy Steve.
Yeah, he's available. He is available.
I was kidding. Please don't do that to me, universe. You know,
I know you're gonna get some DMs over that one. So we already talked about some of the other matches. Let's go to Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher, which I think if you said that this was match of the night, I also can't disagree with you there. I think the two matches that I felt were match of the night. Again, I didn't watch Takeshita and Omega, was the obviously the cage match and the Hollywood ending match, but the cage match I was fucking phenomenal.
Have you ever seen the music video for The King of Wishful Thinking?
No.
So the song for this movie Pretty Woman, it's the band, I think they were called Go West, and like, it's very clearly their one shot to make a music video. So they're throwing everything they possibly can in this video, and at the end of it, they throw a kitchen sink onto the screen, very clearly making a joke. You know, we're throwing the kitchen sink. That's totally how I felt about this match. Like, I was so into it. And then Mark Davis came out with the bolt cutters. And I was like, oh, fuck, here we go.
I rolled my eyes at that moment. I was just like, I don't like the WWE trope where the cage can just be opened. And because there's no DQ, nothing can happen. And I hate that.
I hate it too. I think they played it pretty good though, because of just how good all three of them really are. I did like Will doing a little Cactus Jack stuff. I think that we didn't need to go. I was so against the thumbtacks until I saw Kyle Fletcher, Eda Styles clash into the thumbtacks. Then I went, oh, okay. Okay. If we're going to do that, I guess I'm in. Like, it was so much. And like, I thought they were going to die when they did the Spanish fly off the top of the cage. Like, I'm like, what? I remember thinking one of these guys could die here. Like, I thought
Will Ospreay landed pretty awful on that one. Like, he could, like, my hip clicks when I walk. I was like, Ospreay, that's how you're going to feel in a couple years, buddy.
Yeah, that was, he's nuts. And Kyle Fletcher isn't that much fun. Stop eating blood, by the way. I want to, like, we have to take this bloodborne pathogens test every year to coach. And, like, it makes me sick having to do it. And watching these guys go every time they have blood on them, it's fucking nauseating. Please stop eating other people's blood. Yeah. God damn it.
It's
sorry.
So gross.
Oh, yeah. It's so disgusting. Kyle Fletcher does it every chance he gets. Ugh. Anyways, I love the match though. It was such good storytelling. It goes way over the top, but everything about Will Ospreay is just way over the top.
Yeah.
You know? So he kind of makes at the end of the match, I remember kept thinking, this is too long, it's too much, it's too long, it's too much, and then I pop huge at the end. So I'm like, I think that, but very clearly we get to the end and I'm happy. So I mean, like, I think maybe it's just my critic brain tries to take over and then I get real excited about it again. So he's really good at going over the top.
Yeah. One that I thought was over the top, and I felt like it was still a really good match, but it won too many kickouts for me. Like, I thought it got ridiculous. Ricochet and Swerve. I thought they went past their peak. Was that match right there? And now the ending sequence I thought was really good, but I felt like 5 minutes earlier was the right time to end that match. I was just like, okay, I kind of just rolled my eyes. And at one point, Ricochet hits the 630, And Excalibur goes, ho, ho, ho. I thought we were getting a Merry Christmas out of that mask, motherfucker, at that point. And it was a good kick out, but then they just kept doing them. And I just felt like they did too many for my taste. Okay. But that doesn't mean that the ending wasn't still good, because I did think the ending was pretty good. Some cheese ball stuff in there with the Nana stuff, but I totally get the story they were telling. But that was that match for me where I was just like, okay, it should have ended 5 minutes earlier.
I can't argue what you're saying. It didn't bother me, just because I feel like if you have Ricochet, he kicks out of stuff. And that's kind of what you do with Ricochet. I liked the Nana stuff because they pointed so hardly that Nana was going to turn on him, and they didn't do it. Right. It's kind of what I like about Tony Khan booking is he's really good at playing off our WWE PTSD, for lack of a better term. Sorry, Mike, I couldn't think of a better one. But I mean, like, cause we all know the booking tropes of Vince. We grew up with it, right? And so we see this coming, and we think we sniff out these moments, and then Tony usually zags when most would zig, which I appreciate. I think this Nana thing was one of them. Like, I think we all thought that, you know, Nana and Ricochet would keep the embassy robe, and you know, it would be a new thing, and they didn't do it. And I was like, oh, okay. Were there probably too many kickouts? Yeah, I think that's a criticism you can make of all AEW matches.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, it's hard to single them out, because like, it's like a video game where you need like 30 finishers. But I mean, and I remember watching, I thought this during at the top of the cage, when Ospreay and Fletcher trying to stab each other with a screwdriver, I went, you know, I only have Magnum and Tully to blame for this. You know, like this, you guys started this shit, and it only had to escalate from there. So I think it's just kind of what the company is. So I can't ever argue it's too much.
No.
But I mean, like, it's kind of like, you know, I don't know. Am I really going to bitch about too much cheese on my pizza?
No. So it's weird, because I didn't think it was too much in the Ospreay match, but I did think it was too much in the Swerve match. But yeah. You know, I get it's just a matter of like how you feel when you're watching it, right? It's only too much when you feel like it's too much. Mm-hmm. There's no set number that you have to hit. There's no percentages you have to hit. It just depends on the tempo of the match. I just felt during that match that right after Swerve kicked out of the 630, he should have hit the kill shot like a couple minutes later, and that should have been end game at that point. But then it just kept going, right? So that is just nitpicking of what was a very good match. And I'm one of those guys that's like, AEW should be unapologetically AEW. Mm-hmm. Just be yourselves. And that's what this pay-per-view was up until the main event, which turned into fucking Backlash 2017. like the entire show was every fucking AEW show that we've always loved. That's exactly what this was. Even with they went overboard with the kickouts and the finishers and the horse shits and all the other stuff. That's what this company is supposed to be. Yeah. That's what it was founded on. So just fucking be yourselves. Mm-hmm. Don't listen to me complaining because they, you know, and well, maybe it went about 3 minutes too long and too many kickouts. Look, that's just the way that I saw it. But that doesn't mean it wasn't great at the same time.
I agree 100%. It's very much every match is very much your mileage may vary kind of thing. Yeah. And I love AEWs because I remember back in the year, Jim Cornette talking about, well, you book so that the main event has like the spot, right? If this show was built around the main event having the solo spot, it would have sucked as a show. I love the idea. It's the old Ring of Honor thing of like, you know, everything is going to be the best. And if you can't handle it, you don't deserve the spot.
Yeah.
I think that's a lot to say about that. Like, if you're going to lead this company, you have to deliver. And for a long time, John Moxley delivered. I don't know if it's the character, if it's the work, because I watch him work. Like, he's in a phenomenal shape, right? Yeah. Like, you look at Moxley, like, the dude is built like a UFC fighter at this point. Like, I know Jim Cornette, like, oh, he looks like a plumber. No, he looks like a dude that would kick your fucking ass.
Yeah.
Right? He's jacked, but he's furry. But he doesn't look like a juiced up guy. He looks like a dude who actually fights, right? Yeah. Now that we've been educated what a real fighter looks like. But something about the work lately has just not delivered. And I think it's just the everything, because I don't think his work style has changed all that much. I think it's just like the black cloud of the Death Rider is just kind of hanging over everything, and like the waste of potential and the fact that the main event, that the main event and the title are kind of wrapped up in this. But it kind of has to be, because I don't think this Death Riders thing works if Moxley's not the champion, you know?
Yeah. But overall, great pay-per-view. Phenomenal pay-per-view. I think it's going to get a big, probably, I'm sure some people put a thumbs down on that deal, but for the most part, it's going to be one of the highest rated pay-per-views of all time. And the crowds are back. Like, yes. they, they announced probably like 11 to 12, but as you were saying, they had some like VIPs who probably didn't pay to get in, but like up there in the
suites, yeah.
up in the suites, you had some celebrities. I took a little bit of heat because I accurately stated that Leslie Jones was in the worst Ghostbusters movie of all time.
That is accurate.
That movie should never released it. Okay. You can say what you want about Frozen Empire and the newer ones, but at least it's still part of the original series. And I like those
good movies. Yeah, Frozen Empire was good. My kid
the Melissa McCarthy one was terrible.
Terrible. Yeah. Andy will sit there and rattle off like why Garaka was the greatest Ghostbusters villain ever. That's from a 9-year-old. So like his word is the truth when it comes to Ghostbusters. Yeah. Ghostbusters 2016 is bad. Leslie, I mean, like she takes a lot of flack for it. I don't blame her. It just is a movie that shouldn't have happened. Like,
it's not. She takes a lot of flack for it because she's the one that's combative against people on Twitter about it.
That's very true.
So like, it's not even her fault. I didn't even think that she was specifically bad in the movie. I think she's very funny and talented.
It's very like Dave and Tony Khan-esque, like, you know, like you're engaging. By the way, no one should ever engage. We're getting a lot of numbers because of X, but like no one should ever engage on X. It's become a horrible, horrible platform. Don't argue with people. It's a waste of time and energy. I advise that to everybody. But like, when you play in the, how's that phrase go? If you play in the mud, don't get mad at the pigs, something like that. I don't know.
Something like that. Well, you play with pigs and get mad at the mud. All right, let me get to the chat. We got a lot of chats going on. I went back a little bit, so I'm going to burn through these guys. Thanks for being here. Head over to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. We had two overtimes last week. JD and I did one about Randy Savage and Macho Man and Hulk Hogan, that big thing. I wrote an article about the top 10 greatest heel turns of all time. It is completely accurate and undisputed. That top 10 is going to hold up and nobody can argue against it, I'm sure. So that's on there. I did another overtime after that.
Watch this. I'll fuck you up.
So lots of stuff happening over on Patreon. Plus I did a Brace for Impact on Friday night. All right. King of the North. AEW's women's world title should have main evented. So there
he's right.
Yeah. David Bixenspan's back in the chat. What's up, David? Is it me or was it the way everyone was awkwardly getting in a position? So he's talking about the main event for the camera and cutoff spots in the main event. Incredibly distracting and overly WWE-ish. Yeah, I thought it was like Backlash 2017. Yeah. In fact, if that was on Backlash 2017, that would not shock me that match happened there.
Bix, right.
Because that's where those guys came from, right? Let's see. Oh, did I go to the bottom? Shit. I went back to the bottom. My bad, everybody. Hold on just a sec. Going back up to the top. My bad. This is really bad radio. Okay.
I'll about to stall.
Yeah, the main event was some WWE shit. Yeah, for sure. Copeland won the tag belts with Hogan. That is true. They did win the tag belts. Yeah. So doesn't work for him, brother. See, Antonio Baker, I don't think Adam Copeland is one of those guys who won't take a loss. I'll give you Randy Orton. Okay.
I don't either. Like we said, I think it's more of a Tony thing than a Copeland thing. He seems pretty good to lose when necessary. He probably should have lost tonight, but at the same time, I'm really glad that we're done with the dumbass Money the Bank ripoff.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
Yeah. King says, let the women headline Dynasty. Well, it depends on what the match is. I mean, if it's Tony and Mercedes, yeah, but I think they just blew off the biggest story they had, and they don't have anything else lined up at this point. So unless it's Tony and Mercedes, I don't know what women's match you would headline with.
Right, you would just be headlining just a headline, and you don't want that. That was, if you're going to headline a pay-per-view, that was the match to do it, and they didn't.
Yeah. TNA, big new distribution deal, Gerard. One day, buddy, that they're going to get that TV deal, and you'll be on the case, I'm sure. Still got the Jay White mock stuff now, the accidental hit of Cope tonight. It can go that way too. Yeah, maybe they pivot to Cope and Jay White from there.
Jay White's a better heel anyway, so might as well do that. Yeah.
King says nobody's here for the TNA news. I assure you, people want that. Nobody here for Cologne Brothers scoops. Hey, they're main eventers in TNA now. They're a big deal. Bixenspan, Dave won't give all the stars to the women's title match because his girlfriend is going to complain about the blood again. but every time that there was two women's matches that had a lot of blood. With Thunder and Britt Baker, that got a 5-point. And then Layla Hirsch and Diamante, I think, also got a 5, didn't it?
That got a 5?
I think it did. I could be wrong.
I need someone to verify. I never said that.
Now John Muse. Yeah. Yeah, Muse, hit us up. Let us know.
Suddenly set up the Muse signal.
Okay. I wanted to get into this. Nobody wants to hear Camille talk. Okay. Camille works for AEW. She's one of the stars of Queen of the Ring. They're not advertising that at all. Now, I know that Camille isn't on TV anymore, but does she have heat or is she just not a very good wrestler? Because the fact that she's your wrestler and she's in that movie, you would think you'd want that connection. Now, I don't think that she's that bad. She might not be as good as the people you have on your TV, but I don't think Camille is so bad that you wouldn't advertise the fact that one of your wrestlers is in that movie and she wouldn't be a part of the interview thing. What's going on there? Like, she has to have heat, right?
There's got to be something there because, like, she came in and they were using her, and then all of a sudden they weren't. And they came down on her pretty quick. And I don't want to be like, oh, Tony clearly has heat with her. I mean, I don't fucking know. No one tells me shit. Right. But, like, there's something going on.
Yeah. Tactical Playmaker, that's my boy Nonzo. He said, just got online, was in attendance live for this match. Osprey Fletcher was the best match I have ever seen in person.
That's so pretty awesome. That must have been a great show to be alive, dude. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Official Little Silver, did Josh Alexander debut in Revolution? No.
Terrible.
Clearly
time
didn't watch the show. Yeah.
Yeah. Terrible time for him to make a debut tonight. Very glad.
Did Shane McMahon debut? No, he did not.
Yeah. That's a fun story that turns out Tony's not a complete idiot. Shane wanted to run the company. Tony said no.
Yeah.
Good call.
All right. So one of the things I wanted to get into, which I think is fucking funny. Jade Cargill has heat in the WWE now. She's, I guess, being a bit of a pain in the ass. There was an issue between her. So this was reported in the Observer, and then it was Fightful Select also talked about it. Really? There was an issue between her and Shayna Baszler where they were in a match and Shayna Baszler had her in a rear naked choke. And apparently I saw the video. Jade tapped out during that match. This was a while ago. Jade tapped out to the rear naked choke. Now she didn't have her hooks in. They weren't on the ground. They were standing. It was a standing rear naked and Jade didn't know how to get out of it, I guess. And Shayna had it a little bit snug and after, like, she ended up tapping out during the match, and then afterwards they get into an altercation backstage where Jade tells Shayna, like, you need to learn how to work. So apparently that got Jade a lot of heat. So Jade's been gone for a while. She just now returned to TV, and all these stories are coming out. And lo and behold, one person who's speaking publicly, or at least insinuating, is old Chelsea Green. Now, it makes me think if Chelsea's talking about it, that it's probably been blown way out of fucking proportion because she's a dumb, lifelong dummy, that person is. But so I tweeted. I just thought this was funny. So
Mike stuck his nose in, yes.
Of course I stuck my nose in. So I tweeted. I said, and I made this quote by Tony Khan. It's like, oh, WWE really likes utilizing our talent. Well, perhaps we'll send him some more.
You know, we have a group there with our buddy, the old Red Mask, and I pontificated if Tony wasn't releasing the malcontents back into the wild to spoil some feelings up there. You know, Jade went out without a problem. Like they put her, like they're like, okay, you can go now. And Tony really isn't like that a lot. So
They didn't really fight hard to keep Jade, it seems.
They sure didn't.
But they didn't, like, this wasn't like where they put her in Guantanamo Bay. They didn't do that to her. They didn't like job her out a bunch. She'd lost the one time. And it was immediately after she just won a match, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and then they sent her off and it seemed like it was pretty amicable, but they were not worried about keeping her. And she got there. And now it seems like she's got a little bit of heat in the women's locker room. And now Phoenix is on his way. You got Penta and Malachi Black or Aleister Black's coming. Could be interesting times in the WWE locker room coming up here pretty soon.
Remember how angry Andrade was, and now he's doing the speed thing and got divorced, and now he's kind of like, oh, you know?
Yeah. But he doesn't have a problem losing matches all of a sudden. That's weird.
Yeah. It's funny. Yeah. I imagine Aleister's back injury will clear up magically.
Yes. Yeah. I think he'll very likely be fine going forward once he gets over there.
Funny. Yeah. I mean, like, this is the thing, and we saw this in the I hate this phrase, the Attitude Era, when a lot of the WCW guys came in and started getting pushed. All of a sudden, there's a lot more locker room problems.
Yeah.
you know, and it was AEW was the happiest place in the world. I remember Jim Cornette used to bitch about it, how there is no, like, it's a problem. They're all friends wrestling, blah, 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 blah. I'm sure I got a dumbass friend named Todd who's like, yeah, that's the right way it should be. Like, it's funny, like, when all these WWE guys started coming in, that there's all of a sudden starting to be problems there. It's almost like having people with shitty attitudes makes a work environment suck.
Yeah. And malcontents are very likely to be malcontents everywhere you go. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't say that. I mean, Andrade was a malcontent WWE, malcontent AEW. I don't know that he's having any problems.
Malcontent right CMLL, malcontent in New Japan. Like,
yeah.
Do you ever listen to John Deloney? He's got a lot of great stuff. There's a quote he has, like, everywhere you go, you take you with you.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite quotes. Yeah. I would say everywhere I went, I took my bullshit with me. And, it wasn't until I got rid of all the bullshit that I started having a much better time in life.
It's funny how that works out.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that he's doing poorly right now, but hold on. I'm being corrected in real time. This is okay. I don't mind getting corrected. Transferring Heat says Tony did try to keep her. He offered her a bigger deal, but she was already gone. Okay. I don't know. That might be true. I don't know.
You know, I agree, but I mean, like, we know how Tony is, though, where if he feels like he's going to lose someone, he'll kind of like, because, like, our boss speculated that, you know, it was more of a, no, please stay. We'll give you this. Oh, you want to go? Oh, okay.
Right.
You know, one of those type of deals. So, yeah, he tried to keep her, but did he really try to keep her? Because, like, I don't know. Usually if you... It doesn't make a lot of sense for Tony to keep his title on someone until the last day they're available.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just not Tony Khan's MO, except in this one case.
Yeah. Cause he likes to send him to Guantanamo, right? That's where Phoenix and Miro.
Guantanamo Bay.
You're not in on Guantanamo Bay.
Nope.
That's been a thing on Twitter for a few months.
I'm not on Twitter anymore. That's man. Right. I'm very loose. I don't like X. Like, it's not fun. Yeah. Like, so yeah, no, that's really good. Guantanamo Bay.
He finally got, like, Miro's gone from Guantanamo. Phoenix, earlier this week, he got released. Mm-hmm. He is free of his deal. I think they said that Abaddon and Nick Camarado are leaving soon. So
they did say that.
Yeah.
And Abaddon was a signing that I never understood.
It's okay to have different types of characters on your show, even if they don't exactly fit.
The zombie girl never made sense to me.
It just didn't work. I get the feeling that I'll be covering her work on Brace for Impact very soon. Like, that's like her. It's gonna be like her and Rosemary versus fucking Dana Brooke and.
But she kind of fits there better than she ever fit. Like, the zombie girl never made sense.
Yeah, but
when AEW said it's worst, and her character never made sense there.
No, but the people that write the zombie stuff ended up working for AEW. Like, they're gone from TNA, but
she was never on TV. Like, that's the thing, is she was under contract for damn near 5 years. Cause I think they signed her during the pandemic.
Yeah. They only pushed her every October. Cause I just think that Tony Khan, like us, probably likes horror movies. He remembers, oh shit, Abaddon works here. Let's do some shit.
We got the zombie girl. We can do something with her. I don't know. Whatever. I mean, Camarado, I get too, because he's got a great look to him. He's just not, I mean.
He just never put it all together, that guy.
Yeah, that's great. But that's a typical thing. Is Parker Boudreaux still under contract?
He works for Glate.
Oh, perfect, actually. Yeah. I didn't realize that. That's perfect.
Yeah, here's my thing about Parker Boudreaux. Because I was against AEW signing him, because I was like, let's just see if he still wants this life. Let's see if he's willing to go to the Indies and hustle, because he was a guy from UCF, a football player. It looks just like Brock Lesnar, right? Has, like, if he, like, one of those guys, like, if you created him out of a lab, that's what a pro wrestler is supposed to look like, right? And he got cut from WWE. It's okay, now do you really want this life? But then he immediately got picked up by AEW, and they paid him for whatever it was, a year, 2 years, and he didn't do anything. And I was like, okay, this is gonna be interesting. Does he really want to be a pro wrestler? Well, he's working all the indies, and he works Glate in Japan, and it seems like he's working hard to improve his game. And I'm like, okay, maybe in a year or two, maybe Parker Boudreaux will be something, because he does have that athletic ability.
I think I th- Because remember when they brought Parker in, he was with Swerve. He was one of Swerve's original meathead. I think maybe Swerve and him became friendly at the PC or something like that.
That would be my assumption, yeah.
And Swerve's like, hey, I can do something with this guy. And then he was like, okay, maybe I can't. You know, right. That was the initial mogul enterprises did not quite work.
Yeah. Yeah, but hey guys, I'm getting the hook and it's a little late where JD's at, so we're gonna call it a night. Thank you guys here for being here for the AEW Revolution reaction show. Again, go to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. JD and I are gonna be back at some point. We're gonna talk about it. We need to talk about my top 10 greatest heel turns of all time list. I think it's pretty buttoned up and flawless, but it's available. I actually just released it for free because the WWE put out the top 30 and it was dog shit. It sucked really bad. I think my top 10 is way better. So I went ahead and released it for free today, but it's been behind the paywall since like Monday.
I held off on putting out a new episode of Mid-South Madness this week because I know we were going to go late tonight and 4 or 5 hours of a wrestling pay-per-view. It was a lot of wrestling on a Sunday. Yeah. So that'll come out probably Tuesday this week.
Okay. So, good. Yeah, good deal. But all right, guys, that is going to do it for us this week on the Mike and JD Show. And until next time, mahalo.
Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-made, no rain. From the track when we unite and spit, this isn't A-game. Better bring your A-game. Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-made, no rain.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener, Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.